What fires me up is that there will be more people in this room next year, literally, not in this specific room, but at this conference, who are in a different city, who are having those conversations and caring and loving on people who genuinely have questions about who is God and what is life all about.
Welcome to the Search in Your City podcast. I'm your host, Blaine Larson, and today is a very special episode. We are celebrating Search's 45th anniversary. Yeah. We're coming to you live from our 2022 Summer Staff Conference, and on today's episode, you're going to hear from 9 of our staff representing 4 of our cities. We'll take a look back at our history and then paint a picture of what we believe God has in store for Search in the years ahead. Now, all of this has been made possible by God's incredible faithfulness to Search in so many ways. As we trace some of our history and look ahead to the future, you'll see His guidance and blessing on full display. Now, during our 45 years, there are countless people whose journey to faith in Jesus Christ can be traced back to a relationship with a trusted friend who was part of Search, and many of those people are in this room here with us today. And by God's grace, He'll continue to allow us the privilege of introducing our friends to Jesus. Now, if you're listening and you've prayed for this ministry, given your time to serve with us or financially partnered with us at any point, you're part of building what Search has become. Our story is your story, and we are so thankful for you. Now, my first guest is Bill Crafson. Bill's our area director in Fort Worth, Texas. He's one of our original staff members and has served with Search since our founding in 1977. And Bill, I'd like for you to share with us a little bit about our founding and then what's inspired you to join our staff and remain with us for 45 years.
In the early 70s, somebody shared with me an approach which involved creating a safe place for somebody to come and show up. At the time, it was almost always in somebody's home, and discuss some of the same questions that I had wrestled with in my teen years. How do we know that there's a God? And why does He let bad things happen to good people? And how could there be only one way? And what about people who haven't had a chance to hear? All of my questions. And this idea was that we invite people into somebody's living room, and we're going to talk about these questions frankly and openly and allow people to express their opinions and questions and doubts. And it seemed really exciting to me and relevant. We're talking about the things that are most important. They're the questions that I had. This is dialogue. We're not lecturing people. And it just made a tremendous amount of sense. And so I began leading some of these, what we now call open forum discussion groups. And by 1977, there were a handful of about half a dozen of us in different cities around the country who were leading these discussion groups. And that was the beginning of what we ended up calling our organization, Search, Search Ministries. And the title, the name came from a desire on our part to identify with people who are searching for truth about a relationship with God. So we got this off and running. We were committed to, all of us, to creating safe places for people to ask their questions and find honest answers, whether they're atheists or agnostics, or maybe there are people who grew up in church but didn't know much about what they believe in. And they knew typically nothing about why they believed it if somebody had asked them. And we began doing these in different parts of the country. So there was a clear sense of the importance of this, the passion, the mission, eternity is at stake. That was later on that I came to find out the enormous implications of a personal relationship with God as we live life here, between here and heaven. One of the reasons that I'm still with Search is not only the passion and the sense of mission that got us started, and the sense that we've never lost that focus, but that this was something that never slipped down to the third or fourth priority. It was always going to be the number one priority. Because of the loving, respectful, humble kind of interaction, 1 Peter 3:15, again, be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks, yet do this with gentleness and respect and humility. And because of that, once somebody began this journey, there was always the opportunity to help them get a foundation and learn what the Bible had to say about how to live the Christian life and give them the basics that would put them in good standing for the rest of their Christian experience between here and heaven. And then the privilege of watching God dramatically change people's lives in the here and now. And then having the opportunity to help equip them so that they could share the good news and answer some questions and explain the message to the people God had dropped them in the middle of, their families and friends and neighborhood. And so the reason that that I've stayed committed and passionate all these years and still love doing these forums and helping people get established in the Christian faith is that we've been able to maintain that focus and that passion to keep the main things, and keep eternity in view. C.S. Lewis said famously that the people who had the greatest impact in this life were the ones who thought the most about the next. Aim at heaven, he said, and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you get neither. So I feel it's a tremendous privilege to be able to continue in this ministry that keeps the main thing the main thing.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that with us, Bill. And you're one of the reasons that Search has thrived over all these years, and that we're going to continue to keep the main thing in the years ahead. So thank you for everything. My next guest is Davis Kirkendall. And Davis... Davis is our area director in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Davis joined Search in 1990, and I've got a question for you, my friend. So from our early history, the 1-2-3 model of relational evangelism has defined Search. What is the 1-2-3, and how did it shape our first 45 years?
Well, Blaine, unlike Bill, I did not grow up in a churched home, and I was a lost kid. And in high school, an organization very similar to Search loved to look for and find lost kids. And at Search, over the years, we have often defined lost as missing and valuable. And I was one of those kids who didn't realize his value. Scroll forward in college and in grad school, I was invited into organizations where I would speak at fraternity houses, and I would proclaim the message of the gospel. I would hand out tracts to people and that I didn't even know. And I was good at those things, but I never felt that comfort. Along the way in business, I got exposed to Search Ministries through a publication called Common Ground. And Common Ground, way back 40 years ago, helped me as a business guy connect and engage with people on my turf. And it was a relational process that really jazzed me. At some point, I left business. I went into ministry. I discovered Search in Baltimore, where they had a strong presence at that time, and eventually joined the ministry with Search because of the 1-2-3. The 1-2-3 is what caught my heart, because it was the heart of what caught me when I was in high school. And when I saw a seminar they called The Heart for the Harvest at that time, I watched that and I literally said, I can do that. I know how to do that. That just fits my grip. Now, what the 1-2-3 was that I discovered, it winning the world begins with just one person. You can't boil the ocean, but you can do what you can do with people who are within your reach. And so one stands for beginning with one person, because one person has infinite value to God, fearfully and wonderfully made, missing and valuable. And there's nothing more fun than finding lost things and bringing them back to their owner. So when I think about that, it's not always easy for everybody. People are scared. So there's a FUD factor, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. How do I overcome that? Well, I remember two principles. The first is that evangelism, bringing good news to people, is a process. It involves people one step at a time. What do? You just build relationships and help move the ball forward. Remembering, number two, that God is responsible for the results. I don't close the deal. All I have to do is teach people how to hand out free samples. Try it, and if you like it, there's always more. And that leads to three barriers that I try to realize when I work with people. And I learned that in the 1-2-3. People have an emotional barrier because they've had a bad experience with people or religion or some other form. And what do you do when you have a bad experience? You pull back, you isolate. What do? We can build a bridge over that barrier through trusted relationships and environments where we have things in common. And when you do that, you can build into conversations that can lead to questions. Second barrier many people have is an intellectual barrier. And if an emotional barrier is bad experience, the intellectual barrier is bad information. What do? Well, typically, asking good questions, listening skills, questions that answer the questions that Bill was talking about earlier in 1 Peter 3:15. But I build a relationship and I answer their questions, and there's still another barrier. It's called the natural barrier. We once called it the volitional barrier. It's a bad nature. People are deceived and distracted and unable to see the light that maybe we've seen, probably because of pride, all kinds of reasons. But the reality is we can't dissolve that barrier except through prayer. And it's such an incredible privilege to teach the 1-2-3 in churches and communities, business guys. It's the way we train people to do the kinds of open forums that Bill talked about. And honestly, Blaine, if I remember, you weren't around when I started Search in Charlotte, but we used this seminar, the I Can Do That seminar, to seed the understanding and give people the freedom to go, well, I can do that too. And I can do that with you. And groups would form and forums would form, and it became a great tool for us in the cities that we serve.
Thank you, Davis. That's a very, very great summary. The 1-2-3, it's who we are, it's who we've been, and it's who we will be in the future. Now, my next guest is David Martin, and David is our area director in Greenville, South Carolina. Give it up for David. And David joined us in 2002, so happy 20-year anniversary. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Speaking of the 1-2-3, my question for you is, what's one of your favorite ministry stories that illustrates the 1-2-3?
Okay, my story is unique because it's about a friend named Stan, but it's not unique because you men have hundreds of these stories around the country. And I'm the lucky one that gets to just share one of the many stories that are out there about my friend Stan. So a couple of months ago, Elaine and I were invited to this birthday party. Stan was having his 60th birthday. His two daughters were having a 16th and 21st birthday, and he was having a big blowout at the Greenville Country Club. He wanted us to come. So Elaine and I show up. And when we get there, he grabs us and takes us over to a group of his friends that we didn't know. And it's kind of, I've never been introduced like this, but he said, I want you guys to meet the guy that introduced me to Jesus, changed my family, changed my career, changed my life. I don't even know if I'd be alive if it wasn't for this guy. I just looked around, I was thinking, what are these people thinking about this? You know, so anyway, I didn't know any of this. And so I called him a little later and said, can we go to lunch? And so last week, Stan and I went to lunch. And I said, Stan, I need the backstory. And he said, you may not remember this, but when you first joined Search, a couple of my buddies got you to go down to the beach to their God and Golf thing that they did with 20 other men. That was, by the way, I found this out after I got invited. It was all golf, no God. It was all about playing golf, drinking liquor, and going to strip joints. But they used the God and Golf deal because they all got passes from their wives. So that's why they called it that. But a couple of them were feeling guilty. They asked me to come and they heard that I was doing these things that are called open forum discussions. And they said, would you come down to the beach and do that? And I said, sure. So I go down to the beach and do that. We get back, and the guys say, we need to have some more of these discussions in Greenville. And so Stan says to me, he says, Brad, another guy, invited me to come to one of these discussions. And that was in March. And I said, okay. And he said, I remember you coming. That's when we first met. And he said, I was very inquisitive. I said, yeah, you had lots of questions. And you and I would get together a lot. And frankly, we became friends over those next few months. And he said, yeah. And he said, well, I'll never forget that in October, I came to you and I said, how do you know if you're really a Christian or not? He said, you know, I've been in the Greek church all my life. I don't know what I am. I believe stuff about Jesus, but I don't know how you can really know if you're the real deal. How do you know if you're a real believer, a real Christian? And so I told him, we sat down and talked about it a few minutes, and I said, Stan, what I'd really like for you to do is go home, think about this, and if you're really serious and you want to do this, this is what you can do to entrust your life to Jesus. And so that was that. And I didn't see Stan for quite a while after that. But before long, Stan was involved with me in groups, and he was leading Christian charities, and his whole business turned around. He had been on the verge of bankruptcy and jail and all kinds of problems. His business turned around. His family turned around. He led both of his daughters to Christ, the 16-year-old and the 21-year-old. And he is on the county council. He's very influential in the city. And he said, I went home. He told me this at lunch last week. He said, I went home. I did what you said. My life changed. He said, I gave my life to Jesus just like you told me to. I knew what it meant to trust him because you had spent 6 months in a relationship with me, loving me, and telling me that Jesus wants a relationship with you and he doesn't want to be your icon. And so Stan had a total change in his life, and I wanted to tell you that because when I first came on search staff was about the time all this started, and I didn't know the seeds that I was sowing and what I was planting and how it would come back and all of that. But what you're doing is you're planting seeds. A lot of you haven't been in search more than 5 years. They're going to come back in stories 20 years from now that you're going to go, wow, who knew? So that's my story.
That's an amazing story. A God story. And a great example of those relationships and the power of the one. So thank you so much, David. Now we got another David, and don't clap for this one. No. Hey, you'll only encourage him. No, we got David Wilson, my partner in crime here. David is in Nashville, Tennessee, our area director, and he joined Search in 2012. And I get to ask you a question that I know you love talking about, which is, Dave, why is Search needed and relevant today?
Yeah, I've thought about this question a lot, and you're right, I am kind of passionate about this, because if you think about, we're celebrating our 45th anniversary. And our methods have been the same for 45 years, but I think they're more relevant today than they've ever been. And I think that's, if you stop and think about what our mission is, it's about meeting people where they are in their spiritual journey and helping them take the next step. How in the world could we do that if we don't engage them in conversation and relationship? We can't find out where they are. So logically, I think it's the best thing. Also, what's going on right now in our world, and I think COVID accelerated all this, but people are lonely. I mean, they may be connected socially through the internet or whatever, but they're lonely and they have questions. People have questions, and where are you going to ask the questions? You know, I love church. We love church. We love our church, but I've never been to a church where someone raises their hand and says, "Excuse me, Pastor, back on verse 4, I've got a question on that." So I think people just go to church and have questions. I don't think people who have never been to church, I think, have questions. So what we do is we get to engage with people in relationship. And I think that takes time. It takes a lot more time than it used to just to gain their trust and gain their confidence. So we can start hearing, where are they? How do we know unless we ask, unless we hear their story about where they are in their spiritual journey? and we get to talk about questions, and everybody has questions. And I think that really meets people, especially today. And, you know, I came from the business world, and, you know, the big thing was figuring out, you know, where you're, how to reach your target market. You know, business was all about how to reach your target market, and you would have studies, and you would have, you know, test groups, and the best business was able to figure out how to best reach their target market. Well, there was a study done, and I quote this a lot, but it was done about 5 or 6 years ago by Lifeway, and it said, of the nuns, then it's N-O-N-E-S's, not N-U-N's, but N-O-N-E-S's, of the nuns, those who have no religious affiliation at all, whether it's Christian or Buddhist or Catholic, or, I mean, just nothing. And a study was done, and it said 79%, okay, so 50% would walk into a church one time on their own. 79%, think about that, that's 4 out of 5. Said that they would like to have a conversation with their Christian friend about faith. First of all, that tells you that they're seeking out. They would like to be asked. We don't have to wonder, do they have these questions? And that's what we get to do. We get to engage with guys, and they want to know. And in the context, I think the key to that is it's the context of the relationship we've built. Because they know if they ask a question, we're not going to leap across the table and scream, "What are you crazy? You're going to go to hell if you believe that," right? We get to be that person that just says, "You know what? That's a great question, and I used to think that, or that's very common. But have you thought about this?" And help them in their journey, help them take the next step. Because we can't lecture somebody into the kingdom of God. We can't shame them into it. We can't argue them into it. But I think we can lovingly relationship them into it, if that's a phrase. And so that's what we get to do. So I think, and that's what Search has always been about. That's what's amazing. We're celebrating our 45th year. And that's why I think just the way where the culture is right now and the detachment that's going on and the questions that persist, I think Search more than ever has been more relevant today than it ever has been.
Thank you, Dave. Very, very good answer. Will you thank my panelists here? And now I get to welcome Tim Kilpatrick. Tim has served as a member of our Board of Trustees since 2011 and has had a full-time leadership role with Search since 2015. And he currently serves as our president. Tim, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So we've heard a little bit about the history of Search. We're going to pivot and look towards the future. So what is the vision for Search in the coming years?
Well, the truth is, you just heard it. It's to keep doing what these guys have done so well for 45 years. But we're in a transition stage. We're getting younger. If you've had people on staff for 45 years, then it means that we need to be able to look different and be more relevant to today's society and the culture that's going on that Dave so adequately spoke about. And so that's what our focus is we want to go grow the mission and where we can do it more. For me personally, I intersected with Search back in 1986, and it transformed my life. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it, is because there's millions of Tim Kilpatricks out there that don't have a clue that when they hear the good news and somebody invests time and energy into them and then helps them sweep away some of the fog on the water so they can see the true loving Jesus Christ, it has impact in every aspect of their life.
Yeah. So what are you most excited about when you think of the next couple of years with Search and this transition and the new staff and the new places we're at? What really gets you fired up?
Well, we're growing. You're seeing the cities transform into a younger staff. The way we're being embraced with the current staff and being able to have impact in the city. You heard a few stories up here and then some of the approach. And so you're able to apply that going forward and have a greater impact in communities and in relationships with the people that influence our city.
you've mentioned we've got new cities, new staff. We're celebrating going back to Knoxville, Tennessee, as we've talked about at our staff conference. That's where Search was started. We're back there with our newest staff member. What are some of the cities that you're personally excited by that you hope we're in the next couple of years?
Oh, great question, Blaine. Well, Knoxville is just, that's such a sweet little thing because it's going back to our roots. But we've got our eyes on Atlanta and Seattle, going across the entire country and moving on up into hopefully New York City even, moving down in Texas. We'd love to have somebody in San Antonio. It's boundless and endless of where we could go and what we could do. And of course, Dave was real clear on saying that it's more relevant today than ever. And so every city that we're not in is a potential target for us to be able to move somebody in and practice Search.
So last question for you. So if somebody's listening to this, they've maybe given some of their time, they've volunteered with Search, they've been part of our small groups, they've partnered with us financially. What would you say to people who are listening who've been part of Search Ministries?
First, thank you. Truth is, we couldn't do any of this without those people. They make this happen, and it's not just the financial impact. It's the support, it's the encouragement, it's the prayer that girds us up so that we get to go out and do what we're called to do. And so we literally are really nothing without those people behind us. And more importantly, I want them to know that there's not a single victory or celebration we get to have that isn't theirs as well. And so it's a great thing, and the partners that we get to be with and enjoy this incredible ministry with, it's a real blessing.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. Thanks for being up here.
Thank you, Blaine.
And we're going to bring up some of that next generation of staff. Come on up here, guys. We're growing, as Tim mentioned, and so I wanted to leave us and end this podcast with just sharing with you some of our newest additions to the team. And so these four guys that are up here with me represent the next generation of staff from the cities that we heard from earlier. And my very first guest is Josh Horton. And Josh is working with Bill Craftson there in Fort Worth, Texas. Josh joined our team in 2019. And Josh, here's my question for you, my friend. What is the most important thing about evangelism that you've learned since you joined Search's staff?
I'm going to turn on you, Blaine, because I know you're a presidential junkie. And do you know who's attributed this quote, that plans are worthless, but planning is everything?
No, I do not. Maybe I know. I'm going to guess Eisenhower.
You got it.
Eisenhower. I got it.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. That was impressive. That was not scripted. First thing that came to my mind when I thought about this question, in so many ways, just this idea that in relational evangelism, God calls us to be faithful. It's so easy to want to be fruitful. I think some of that comes from John 15, where we're told that we'll bear fruit. But if you look at that, there's never a command to bear fruit. There's a command to abide. And Jesus tells us that we will bear fruit through that. And so I think to me, that's been my biggest takeaway, is it going back to what Davis shared earlier, that it's a process in the 1, 2, 3, and the results are up to God. And it is so easy to want to take control of the situation. But I know for me, one of the sweetest interactions that Bill and I have on a regular basis, I don't know where it started, when it started. I think I was sharing with Bill that I was really discouraged and frustrated with some interactions and relationships that just weren't taking the step I thought they should take. And Bill just started calling me and sharing with me discouragement, sharing with me the things that didn't go the way he'd planned, the person who he'd called 10 times and never called back. And then he started sharing not just the exciting things that would happen, you know, after 10 years, but he'd share the whole backstory of all the labor, all the phone calls, all the discouragement along the way. So I think to me, it's just as simple and clear as our 1, 2, 3 is. To me, those two principles, that it's a process and the results are up to God. As a staff member with Search, I feel like I have to remind myself of that daily. And I think it's just so powerful and so helpful as we think about evangelism.
What a great answer. Thank you, Josh. It's just, it's so cool to see these things being passed on and really embraced. Steve Gardner is my next guest, and Steve is, give it up for Steve. Steve's out in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined our team in 2020. What a wild couple of years, yeah. Great time to Perfect. Join a relational ministry. Steve comes to us, though, with a career in ministry, working for another great organization. So I was curious to ask you, what is it about Search's mission that made you want to be part of our team?
Yeah, I had the privilege being in Charlotte of watching Search's mission firsthand for 15 years with Davis and Ken and Chad and the team that they have there. And there were really three things that I was a witness to that drew me into the mission. One was I definitely saw men and women in Charlotte who didn't know where they were with Christ, or they didn't know what they thought about God. And watching them come into a relationship with God that was real and deep in their lives, I saw that for sure. The second thing I saw was those folks not just stop there, but to continue to grow in their relationship with God. And it was powerful to watch how they would walk that path with folks. And then the third piece was watching how those folks then in turn, through things like the 1-2-3, joined them in what they were doing and the power of that witness through being with them. I wanted to be a part of a ministry that didn't do ministry to people, but did it with people. And that's what I witnessed with those three in Charlotte and with their team. And so one of the great privileges that we get, and the reason that I would sign on to that mission, is because we're not just about evangelism. We're not just about discipleship. We never separate those things. We're helping adults take their next step towards God, wherever it is along that path. And by being involved in all three of those things all the time for a job, it's absolutely impossible to do apart from God. And I wanted to be a part of impossible things.
Wow. What a great answer. Well, we are very, very glad you're part of the team, Steve. Glad you're here. Graham Gooley, my next guest. Graham's out in Greenville, South Carolina, just down the road, and joined us in 2014. Graham, I wanted to know what the value is of being part of a growing national organization from your perspective.
Yeah, so I'm not from Greenville, South Carolina originally. I grew up in South Florida and moved to Greenville in 2009 when I graduated college. I did not know a soul. And I really mean that. Did not know one person when I moved to Greenville. Thankfully, my roommate knew a guy named David Martin, who you all heard from earlier. And David was just one of the first people that my roommate, who again, I didn't know him, he gave me 3 months to try me out and said, we'll see how it goes. Thankfully, he let me stay there a little longer. But he said, I think you should meet David Martin. And for me, if I would not have had a David Martin in Greenville, he was my in for Search, getting to know people. He didn't invite me into a program. He invited me into a community of people that helped create spaces for me to process questions that I had about life and God. And it's been invaluable and it's changed my life. And so I share that to tell you why I'm excited about being part of a national organization is because I know that there's plenty of new guys coming into cities. And I know being the person who doesn't know anybody, I don't want to be introduced to a program. I want to be introduced to a person who has a name, who desires to bring me into a specific type of environment or culture that does exactly what we do as an organization. We create safe spaces. And so if I know that we're growing, I then know that guys who I come across day in and day out now in Greenville, my generation, I don't know about older generations specifically, but I've recognized that it's more and more transient. Guys are bouncing around from city to city. They don't stay in jobs as long as they used to. And so I oftentimes have guys going to new cities and I'm getting the question, hey, is Search in that city? And so for me to know that we are only growing, that the men in this room representing specific cities is only going to grow, that gets me excited about knowing that I'm going to get to start telling more and more guys, hey, connect with the David Martin, connect with the search guy in that city. So that is absolutely one main element of like being a part of this national organization that just gets me excited about where we're going. A second thing is the support that Search has on offer, being a national organization, just the home office alone. You guys have done incredible work. I've been on staff 10 years, and to see the growth that that you all have given in terms of support from doing a podcast, things like this that were never even on the radar for us, is invaluable. To be able to share that with guys in my city who are passing this podcast that we have along to their friends who they're figuring out how to have conversations with about the big questions of life and God, I couldn't do it without you guys at the home office doing things like that. And also, I'd say, as this room grows, from the day I came on staff, I've been intimidated by the people I work with because of the talent level in the room. I don't include myself in that, but these guys are invaluable to collaborate with. If I can't sit down and verbally process what's going on in my city and what's going on in the ministry that we're doing, I'm just kind of operating in a vacuum. And so to be part of a national organization, one that's growing, lets me know that the collaboration on offer that's to come and the innovation that's going to come from that and the type of ministry ideas and creativity that we'll have on offer is just, that gets me pumped about where we're going.
Gets me fired up too. Very exciting. And you mentioned the podcast. I'll share if anybody doesn't know this, but we've got another podcast feed called The Search Podcast. So we had a marketing team come up with that. No, but it's called The Search Podcast. So if you're looking actually for a ministry tool, something you could share with somebody who maybe doesn't believe or you're meeting with, they're seeking, they've got questions, that podcast feed is really made just for that. So go check that out if you haven't already. My last guest is Greg Joyner, and Greg is in Nashville, Tennessee. Greg took my job when I left there, and that was in 2019. Oh, who's clapping for that? Seriously? And so you're going to be, this is our last question, Greg. What's the most exciting thing to you when you think about the future of Search?
Great question. So for me, the most exciting thing really boils down to some of my experiences I've had in the last few months being on staff and seeing that happen more and more. And so there's a few guys in the room that saw this take place, but I was just recently in an open forum right outside of Nashville where I was, this is kind of a close to home story, but I was able to invite my neighbor, which we've never had a spiritual conversation the entire 6 years I've lived there, but I invited him to this thing called an open forum, and he took the bait. And it was amazing. He came. He was participating in the conversation that night, and man, we had an incredible time. And I'll never forget this. This is one of those moments as a Search staff member, it just clicked one more time, turned the notch up just a little bit further of this is exactly what we're here for. On the way home, he just looked at me and said, do you really believe all of that stuff? Like, he was really checking it out. And he named a few things, and he said, you know, I've grew up around this a little bit. I haven't been to church and self-proclaimed agnostic in years. And on the way home, he asked me, that stuff in the Old Testament, do you really believe it happened? I mean, he was already digging in that much after one open forum. And so when I think about my experience at the Open Forum and the folks and the men that I met just that one night, I go, what excites me is the opportunity to have more conversations with guys like that. And the way that happens is the expansion we're doing. I mean, think about the number of conversations and the stories that come out of new cities, more open forums in different cities and more groups that are starting because there's guys who are curious who have questions. And the thing that I'm seeing over and over and over again as a Search staff member is there are people in my city who have no one to talk to, and they have no one to go to with spiritual questions. It's just time and time again I see it. And I'm just, what fires me up is that there will be more people in this room next year, literally, not in this specific room, but at this conference, who are in a different city, who are having those conversations and caring and loving on people who genuinely have questions about who is God and what is life all about. That's it.
Well, and if you're listening to this, you're part of making all this happen. And if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what does. So thank you so much, Greg. And thank you. y'all. Thank y'all for listening to the Search in Your City podcast. And if you like it, go give us a rating or review anywhere you listen to podcasts. And until next time, thanks for listening.